The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Thursday, September 22nd, 2022, Season 18, Episode number 36. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Today, we talk New York Giants defense versus Cowboys offense. Lots of storylines in that matchup. Before we get to that, though, there were some interesting things that Mike McCarthy mentioned in his press conference, which happened moments ago, and we'll go through a few of those things. We'll also, at some point in the show, maybe take a few calls. Our number is 888-855-2297. You can call the line. Chris Beam, our trusted producer, will be able to cue you guys up, and we'll get to you as we have time to get to you to get some questions or comments. Again, number 888-855-2297. Let's start first with something that came out in the press conference that kind of was just like, I don't know, it came out in a weird way. They were talking about Micah Parsons and asked if he was injured. Mike McCarthy said, you know, he's not really injured, nothing we're worried about. He does have a little cold. And then later someone followed up and said, so wait, is he missing practice? And he said, yeah, so he's going to miss practice today. What do you guys think about that just from the standpoint of, I don't think I've ever heard of a guy missing practice for a little cold. What did you hear?
Where you been the last 2 years? I mean, like that's we're still not out of the woods on that kind of stuff. I still think anytime you have cold or any kind of symptoms on that, they're not going to let you get that close to the team. I mean,
But if you got a little cold, that also means, I'm guessing, if you got symptoms, they probably already tested you, so they kind of already know that. I would guess. I don't know. I'm asking. You're the reporter. Report.
Damn.
Report on that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You think there's a lot of
testing? That's
going
to get you in a lot of trouble.
You think there's a lot of testing going on?
On COVID.
No.
That's probably not a good idea.
Not a lot of testing going on. I'm sorry. You kind of like last year in the playoffs, they were just like, oh, we ran out of testing. No.
It reminded me of that meme, I guess, is the one where the guy, everybody's lining up and going into the stadium and he's doing the check. Mm-hmm. He's doing the pat down. Mm-hmm. And he's like, his hands are on the outside. Yeah. He's just like.
Yeah. Micah Parsons, as John Madden once referred to Terrell Owens as this, is the check the tire guy. Is when, everybody get on the bus. We're late. Not everyone's here, coach. Doesn't matter. We're leaving. Not everyone's here. Who's not here? Yeah. Terrell Owens is not here. You know what? Once you go check the tires a little bit, see if everything's good, check the mirrors.
Not saying we're not leaving.
We're not leaving yet.
We just need to check the tires.
We checked the tires on Dez Bryant for
that's
an hour.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that was a trip to London.
To London.
We were all in the buses, and everybody's like, and then the word filtered through. Who are you waiting on? And then sure enough, you see him pull up, and you're like, that's
and
what
we're had his best game of his career.
Yeah, he did.
Sure he was awesome.
So that best quarter of his career, I believe.
I don't remember when it was or what city we were at, but I was fairly new to this and, you know, traveling, hotels and all that. And I remember, I'm like, man, I'm running late. Where is it? And you're trying to figure out where you go. And then I see this. I'm like, oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. I see a player. And it's this. And I'm right behind me. And I see everybody just like pissed off at this. Like, hurry up. And I'm like, Superman. I'm like, oh, shoot. I'm not okay, but let me just hide behind him.
Yeah. That's when you're walking. Like, I need to get in front of him because they're not going to leave him. They might leave me. So, yeah.
Bus four. Just kind of get on bus four.
We had a girl one time, won't say her name, but we had a girl one time that missed the bus.
Yeah.
But she was like, I still made it. Yeah. Like, you rode in the cop car. Remember that? Rode in the cop car, and they're like, we don't have any space. Like,
just get in the
police escort and go. And she's like, I still made it. And was like, not good.
Not really.
Don't ever be
that person.
All right, I know. This is story time. Didn't Rowan Kavanagh one time, he almost missed the bus because he couldn't find his belt?
Yeah.
I missed the bus one time.
Hellman and Rowan, when we played in New York, they went and saw people over there, and they couldn't get back like an hour before. I mean, it was right up to game time.
There are places like you know, Minnesota, yeah. Atlanta, when you're downtown Detroit, yeah. if you're going to miss the bus, that's fine. New York is
Philly.
New York, Green Bay.
Philly, yeah.
Green Bay is another one.
Washington.
Oh, Washington's
do not miss the bus.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. There have been people on our team that have missed the bus once. Most people don't miss it again because it is a pain in the butt. And you have that panic. I literally walked out of the hotel and watched the buses drive away, and it was the most panicked moment I've had in a very long time.
So I've been here 23 seasons. Mm-hmm. I have missed – I've never missed the plane, but I was 8 minutes late one time, and they held it in a preseason game. And of all the years, it is the only game we have ever traveled the day of the game. Mm-hmm. The only time. It was to Denver, and we did it the day of the game. We never did it since, but like –
because of you.
Maybe. But I remember the guy telling me we will not hold this in the regular season. And I had to walk through the back of the plane, and it just it was terrible.
Was that Bruce that told you that?
Probably
Bruce Mays,
Steve Kerekhoff. Yeah. So basically,
I'll ask Steve about that one for you.
Yeah. So basically, he'll probably remember what I was wearing too and all that. But but now, like, if someone asked me just the other day, Patrick Walker asked me. He's like, when is too early? You know, I was like, about an hour.
Yeah,
is good.
Yeah,
an hour is
always early.
If you're not, you know, you never know what traffic and all that.
Yeah,
or finding the site too is another. If you've never done that, finding the charter site's kind of a weird situation for you. Yeah,
but Kansas City was another one. One of our team members missed Kansas City, and that's not a good. It's not good because the traffic there is nightmarish.
Hard. Yeah. All right, so we got way off on each.
I don't realize. I'm sorry, real quick. I didn't realize we had that many miss.
Oh, there are people that, and especially like you get a little comfortable when you're kind of in that mid. You've been here a couple years. You kind of think you got the handle of it, and like that's what happened to me in Philly. Like I was going down the elevator, but I didn't leave early enough, and the elevator was backed up. So trying to get down the elevator was a problem. And sure enough,
watches will get you too sometimes. Watches,
getting on different time zones,
and your phone and all that. If you're on your phone,
this is the last thing. The problem I had, I would always be too early. And then I was always asked, you're on the wrong bus. You know,
because it was empty when you got there.
Yeah, I would get on the bus and be sitting there.
I've been asked that before.
The players all getting on and you're like going, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm on the wrong bus today. Yeah. You know, and then they asked us to
you just do the classic, Brian, keep walking. We're good here.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, we're good.
No, keep walking.
Bus do.
Thank you.
You can walk through security. No, we're good. That's nice. I like that shirt, by the way. It's good. That looks good on you. Yeah.
Okay, real quick. Another real quick story.
We're good.
We were one of my first
– Parsons is fine. He's going to play. So if he's going to play, they're going to be fine.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's
what people wait for.
Real quick. We were – when I went to work with radio, we went to go Texas Rangers training camp, and we got locked out of where we needed to be to go get to our radio position. I just told our guys, come on, we're going through the clubhouse. Like the Rangers clubhouse. I just went – we went through the door where the they were bringing food in, and like there were – it's the kitchen. And I go, come on, guys. And they're like, no, what are you doing? I'm like, come on, let's go. So we're walking through basically the Rangers clubhouse, like the locker room and all that. And then the PR guy started following us. And he didn't say anything. I'm like, come on, guys, just act like you know what you're doing here. We're fine. Let's just keep going. And he followed us the whole way out. And he's like, oh, Brian, you might not want to do that again. And I pulled one of those. Oh, okay. Hey, thanks. Yeah, appreciate you. Get it? Gotcha. There.
Did you do the whole thing, that bit where you're talking to guys like, hey, Alvarez, working on that curve, looking good. Oh, nice hit yesterday.
I kept my –
You sold that sluggo. You said that to Dez.
I sold it. I sold it. But, yeah, you're right. But we just walked right through the Rangers club. I mean, we weren't even supposed to – I'm like Ambar said, it was like, come on, we're supposed to do this. Come on, let's go.
Shocked. You'd be shocked how many times you can do things when you just kind of act like you're supposed to be there. Just move forward acting like you're supposed to be there. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, this is my seat here for the Super Bowl, right here. It's supposed to be right here.
All right, give me a status update on Michael Gallup. What are we hearing about him?
Oh, they got McCarthy. They kind of duped him today. Yeah. You know, he was like, he didn't want to say it, but he's like, he's playing. In that, and then it was like, so he is playing. He's like, oh, well, I mean, I want him to.
Yeah.
He's going to play. Like how much? I think that's the question. And they're going to see, you know, what he feels like and how much they can do. But it sounds like they're going to, you know, make him active for this game. I would imagine him and Tolbert. I mean, so that means, you know, because Tolbert has been inactive, so has Gallup, and Houston has been, you know, so now it's basically two receivers versus one, so they're going to have to probably find an inactive spot somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that, you know, maybe the thing with Simi Fehoko, too. I mean, yeah. Like, yeah, that's one of those things where you're kind of like, you know, okay, you guys have had a good run here. I mean, good run, good opportunity. You got to show up. You got to show up in place. Now let's put some other guys in there and see how it goes.
I would think, though, that Fehoko's ahead of Tolbert in special teams.
Yeah.
And you know Gallup's not playing special teams.
Right.
So losing Houston, I think Fehoko's safe. I feel like he got to cut somewhere else. I mean, cut as far as inactives go. I don't know where. DBs, maybe? I mean, they already had – I can't remember. Was Bell active last week?
He was.
And McQuamo?
He was because you were down. Curse.
Yeah. I could see maybe Bell not maybe being one active. Of them not. Maybe them. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. It's not my problem.
Well, one thing I think that was interesting, though, was, you know, I think in McCarthy's defense, I do think, you know, this is the first week that Mike is getting, Michael Gallup is getting a full week of work in pads. And so I think what they're really thinking about is, can he make it through that week without any setbacks? And that's why I think they're kind of hedging their bets a little bit. I think everybody wants him to play and expects him probably to play, but you just also have to hold back that this is the first week he's really doing this. So let's see how it goes. Let's make sure we don't get in a situation where we get to the end of the week and something flares up or he's feeling something that doesn't feel right, and then we have to pull him back. But we've told everybody he's playing, right? We don't want to be in that situation.
And he also said, Mike McCarthy, that even if he plays, it's not like he's going to be out there the whole time.
Right.
So it's going to be some, you know, limited basis anyways, which is what they should do. And if anything, I feel that this is, again, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it. But I just hate kind of disrespecting certain teams because, you know, they're still an NFL team. But I'm just thinking, like, if this
already?
Is the week to do it, it's a good week to kind of do it. But we'll see.
That actually does lead into the next question I have for you guys. Mike McCarthy was asked about the fact that the Cowboys they went through the NFC East last year and was, you know, beat the won every game they had in the NFC East. And there he was asked, does that carry over from year to year? His thought was it doesn't. My question for you guys, do you think that actually is the case? Because I do think there are some things that kind of can carry over from year to year. But what do you guys think about that when he says, I don't really think there's anything that really carries over from season to season?
It will carry over when it's a new staff. You know, I feel like that the Giants...
Wait, it will carry over when it's a new staff or won't carry over when it's a new staff?
I think that it won't carry over. I'm sorry. It won't carry over because I feel like that, you know, when Brian Daboll went for the two-point conversion to win the game against Tennessee, to me, that changes your culture right there. That's when you get the confidence in the coaching staff. The players all of a sudden are like, man, he had confidence enough to us to try and win this game right then, right now. You know, he didn't say, oh, let's kick it and hope for the best. So that's the thing with this new coaching staff with, you know, with their GM. Look what they're doing on offense. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. They're not playing their what we would consider their star wide receivers. They're playing guys that they brought in, this general manager brought in. They're playing guys the coaches liked and stuff like that. So to me, that's they're trying to say now it might not be a good team at the end of the day, as Bill Parcells would say. It might not be a good team. You know, it might at the end of the you know it might be they might get six wins. You know, but the culture, that's the whole thing, and I think that doesn't carry. I mean, that you're just trying to get rid of the stink of Joe Judge and that coaching staff. You know, is what you're trying to do now.
That's a way to put it.
Well, I mean, I think
it was
honestly. I kind of think. It does. It carries over until the Giants prove that it doesn't, and you know it's carried over for I don't know about the whole NFC East, but for the Giants, it's carried over for 5 years. It's carried over. I think they've won 9 out of 10. The only game that they beat was when Andy Dalton started at the end of the year, you know, since 2016. So like it's carried over, and it's carried over different coaching staffs from the Cowboys and the Giants because from a talent standpoint. But you're right. It goes back to the Cowboys and Eagles way back in the 90s. Cowboys couldn't beat the Eagles until they beat the Eagles.
Yep. Yeah.
And so it's going to happen at some point. And like Brian said, it could be happening now, but it has carried over until then. And let's see what the talent gap has, you know. When Daniel Jones lines up there to play, though, you
it's
have
still
a chance.
Daniel Jones.
You have a chance.
Yeah. It's still Daniel Jones.
Like I said,
he's friendly.
He's friendly. He gives you the ball. He lets you have it. He shows it to you. So here you go and fumble it. You know, now he's athletic. I mean, he can run until he gets tired and trips over himself. But
Shade just all throughout this whole thing on
that was an awesome play until he tripped over the 12-yard line. Remember the against the Eagles? He just took off for 80 and then just couldn't run anymore. So
he's tired.
Anyways, I think Brian is right that at some point you change the culture, but they haven't proven that just yet. Yeah. So we'll see what
happens.
Well,
the fact that they're 2-0 and not 0-2
right
now, I think that
This screams like Carolina to me last year.
Oh, there's we talked about it on the radio yesterday.
Carolina's 3-0, and you're like
Carolina
whoa.
Number one rush defense and all that stuff like that.
Smack them in the mouth.
Yeah. Well, this team. I mean, I know we're going to get into about the defense and stuff. There are some if you're one of those guys or gals that believes in analytics and stuff like that. There are some really scary bad numbers for the Giants on defense. You know, so yeah, that's. It's still
scary for who? The Cowboys or the
scary
Giants?
For the Giants.
Oh, got it.
Scary for the Giants.
You can go both ways.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's scary. But the thing about it, can you take advantage of the scary numbers?
Yeah.
That's going to be the trick.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we will dive in. New York Giant defense versus Cowboys offense. We'll be right back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, singing, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
When you build, you start with a foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far, with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf. For winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Back to the break.
Whether you're watching from home or cheering in the stands, Essilor lenses let you see every exciting play. Book an appointment at your local Essilor experts. Find the perfect lens for you. See more, do more, Essilor.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of The Break Live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. This segment's presented by Blockchain.com. Let's jump in and talk about the New York Giant defense versus the Cowboys offense. Brian, let's start with what's the best thing they do? What's the worst thing they do?
Yeah, this team is really actually very good on third down. And that's the thing that you have to, if you want to hang your hat, if they want to hang their hat defensively on something right now, they've had a situation. And again, I'm learning about this analytics stuff. I think there's a great place for it. I think it does tell a little bit of a story. And so, you know, this is where you look at the Giants, and opponents have only converted 5 of 23 third downs, which is 21%, about 22%. Which is the lowest in the league. Mm. And then you flip that over on Dallas's end. Well, Dallas has converted 6 of 25, which is 24%, which is also tied for the lowest in the league. So something probably going to have to give there with you. But the thing that's scary for the Giants, and this is what's – can the Cowboys take advantage of this, is 24% of the completions against the Giants have gained 20 or more yards. That's the highest in the league right there. So
they're giving up a lot of big plays.
They're giving up some chunk explosive plays. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's the thing that you have to be able to take advantage. Yeah, if they get you in third down, they've got a shot. They get you, though, they, you know, when you get him in normal down and distance situation, they could give up some really, really big plays. And I was talking to some guys over there about, you know, their players and stuff like that. And I said, let me just kind of walk me through your defense. And they're like, listen, he goes, our safeties are really, really good. We got some smart players there. You know, Jackson is a solid cover corner. Other cornerbacks are a real question mark. So there you go with the big plays and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Holmes, who's their nickelback, he could get beat and be grabby in the slot. So maybe you get a referee CD. All of a sudden. CD, yeah. He was thinking, though, that that Thibodeau and Ojulari both would play. Those are their defensive ends. But they've got no pass rush. The word that my guy over there used, he goes, our pass rush has no teeth. It would be better if Ojulari and Thibodeau come back and both have a real chance. But he says they've been really lucky the last 2 weeks because the teams they played, those teams haven't passed the ball well. Mm-hmm. So that's they've taken advantage of teams that haven't passed it very well.
But even with that, they only have 3 sacks in 2 games. So yeah, they're down at the lower part of the league.
Exactly. And that's when you watch them on tape, it is. I mean, they do miss Azeez Ojulari and Thibodeau is yet to play. He's still dealing with what happened to him during training camp where he got that low block. But they just don't have pass rushers on this team. And they have a rookie corner in Cordell Flott. And he's a kid from LSU, and I know this kid really, really well. He's a linear-built, thin-built kid. He's not very physical, and you can run by him. He doesn't have great catch-up speed. He doesn't have great makeup speed. I mean, he's a kid who was picked in the 3rd round. I'm surprised he went that high watching him play. But on, you know, the other side, Adoree Jackson is a pretty good player. And so, but both of them are kind of smaller, slighter type players. But they don't have that pass rush. Without Ojulari and without Thibodeau, and they're going to lose Leonard Williams this game because of a knee sprain. Mm. That's really going to hurt these guys. So we'll see how they do things defensively here because they're kind of tricking you a little bit, but they're somehow finding a way to get off the field on 3rd down.
Yeah, that's big. There's the 3rd down stuff. Do you think? You know, I said it last week about 2nd down. I thought 2nd down was, mm-hmm. was important. And I think when I go back and look at the game, I thought that certainly helped them because I think helped the Cowboys because I think that they got into some 3rd and shorter situations. I just wonder, though, my big thing is just how Kellen Moore's going to call this game again. Like, is he going to call it to a point where, you know, he's trying to get 10 yards at a time and keep, you know, the Giants? I think you wanted to keep the Bengals off the field, but do you want to keep – Do you feel the same about the Giants? You know, I think the best matchup is when the Cowboys' defense is against that offense. So I think they might switch it up and play a little bit more aggressive because they're not trying to hold the ball as much.
I kind of feel like the Dallas does need to be aggressive because I feel like that if you could score, you know, and make it like they did against Cincinnati where it's a 17-point game and then all of a sudden force. Now, we'll see if the Giants get out of running the ball. I mean, they against Tennessee, they were down and they didn't get out of running the ball. And maybe they're so fearful of Daniel Jones. I mean, they again, if whether you believe these things or not, the Giants, they have no explosive plays. I mean, again, here's numbers for you. 3% of their offensive plays, 4 out of 128 offensive snaps have gained 20 or more yards. That's the lowest in the league, you know? They just don't – they averaged – in the game they won in week 2, they gave up. They averaged 3.7 yards on offensive snap. That just shows you they have no explosiveness at all with their offense. So, to me, I'm trying to get them. I'm trying to find a way to make them have to play catch up because when you play catch up against the Giants, then it puts it in Daniel Jones's hands, and then you get the sacks, and then you get the turnovers, mm-hmm. and then you get those things that we've kind of grown accustomed to how they play. So, if this thing turns into close. And they're just running the ball, and you can't get off the field. I worry about a close game. You know, mm-hmm. I really, really do. Now, can your defense come up with a turnover or two, you know, when they do throw? That might be the difference in this one.
That's what I was going to ask, going back into Cowboys offense versus Giants defense. Mm-hmm. And I know you already gave a pretty detailed rundown, and you mentioned some of their DBs, but I don't like this feeling of, you know, it sounds like such a favorable matchup.
That they won't take advantage of it?
So I need to feel a little bit uneasy. I don't want to get too comfortable here. So I need to hear you say something that can keep the Cowboys on their toes. Because right now, everything that I'm like, okay, it can definitely go the Cowboys' way, and they can get like win this thing and come back home with another win. But I want you to like find something that gives me that little, this is going to be tough.
How about this?
A little bit tough.
How about this one? And we need to figure out what's going on with Dalton Schultz. Is what we need to figure out there. And I say that with the reason of, like, if you don't...
Ramping up.
That's okay. What he said. If you're ramping up with Dalton Schultz, we'll see. Does Dalton Schultz play? If Dalton Schultz doesn't play, then what happens with Gallup? How much are you going to play Gallup? You know, is Gallup going to get a full complement of offensive snaps, or can he only go, you know, 25, 30 snaps, you know? I'd like to believe if they're going to get him dressed that they probably try and play him more, but what if they don't? So what if you don't have Schultz, and what if you have really Gallup kind of as a part-time player? Now who is it going to fall on?
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say if they don't have Schultz, you will get – this is going to sound weird – you're going to get more production out of your tight ends, and I think as a group between Hendershot as a pass catcher and Ferguson as a blocker and a pass catcher – I think you might end up getting more production out of your tight end group than you get out of Schultz.
Yeah. I would think if Hendershot stays with the same spot he's been in the third tight end. I mean, I know that sounds weird, but I wouldn't be surprised if McEwen, if Schultz doesn't play, they put McEwen in, and McEwen kind of has a little bit. He might even play more than Hendershot in this game. I mean, this, you know, you like the rookie. He's got some good qualities that you want to keep, and so you keep him on the team. And if you lose McEwen, you lose him. But in a game like this where you can elevate him, if that happens, I have a feeling Schultz is going to play, though, honestly.
I kind of do, too. This is the first time I felt like that
today. I was trying to make her feel uneasy if you didn't have the people that could you know, with Dalton Schultz, you know you're going to get the 8 or 7 to 10 yard catch.
Right.
You know you're going to get that. At some point in time, you're going to get a 7 to 10 yard catch. So – there goes, if you didn't play that security and all of a sudden Gallup is just limited to what he can do, I'm just trying to limit the number of weapons you have, because we've talked about the metrics tell you that the Giants give up big plays, you know, and who's there to make big plays? I think that's the thing that scares me. I'd like to see the Cowboys come out and be aggressive, protect this thing, and then try and find if the Giants aren't going to pass rush, and Ojulari and those guys are coming back and they have not played in game shape and all that, how much can they really play? So I'm taking advantage of a secondary that gives up big plays and a team that right now can't rush the passer very well. So that's kind of where I'm at.
All right, let's real quick before we go to break, let's take a phone call. We got a call from Justin in San Antonio. Justin, what up?
Justin, are you there?
Yeah, sorry, guys. Phone went out just as soon as you guys brought me up. Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. I want to talk for a minute about Zeke. I noticed several times the last game, Zeke was adjusting his new helmet. It didn't seem like it was fitting correctly. When you get to the second quarter with 4:44 to go, he went up the middle. And when he got up, he was shaking his head. Maybe he was like a little bit dizzy. And since that point in the game, he wasn't the same Zeke. At all, to me. I was wondering if you guys noticed that. If not, if you wanted to go back and check it out, and then I'll take your answer off the line. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for the call.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
His hair is getting kind of big. Maybe it's
it's a struggle. You know, I was talking to some equipment managers about this, and especially with the hairstyles a lot of the players have now with all the hair, and it's tough to fit those helmets. It really, really
because you want a tight fit.
And Zeke's wearing a new model of a helmet, and so you wonder right there if there was some. And you know, to the caller's point, maybe he took a shot. I say 4:44 there. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe you need to check that out, but. I know talking to Bucky about it, man, I'm saying, how do you keep these helmets on these guys with all the hair? And he says, that's tough. You got to fit it. And then the whole thing with the chin straps now is really, really important. With
the college game, it's been I don't know if y'all have noticed it.
Yeah.
In the college game, it has been a lot of guys.
But I think a lot of guys aren't buttoning up their straps either. That's part of the problem.
True. And you have to lose a play. I mean, the NFL doesn't have that rule, right?
In the college, you got to go out of play.
Play. Yeah. I mean, I've seen a game where it happened 10 times to one team, and it's just ridiculous. But I don't know if it's, you know, it could be new style. It could be the way they like to have it fit. But I didn't notice that. Don't think that would be a big problem moving forward. I really don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't. I certainly didn't notice that during the game. I'll go back and take a look at it, but I didn't notice that during the game.
You know, that's one thing about, you know, you love being at the game. You love seeing, you know, big view we have, and obviously getting to talk to people before and after game. But the fans see more things than we do sometimes, just from replay.
Well, what they get to see is they get to see the close up, so they see those kind of things where we can see the whole field, where they can't see some of the stuff that's happening downfield because it's not in the camera angle. So I think, kind of, you get a little bit of both that you can't get with the other.
We get a 25-second delay.
Yeah,
we do. Yeah.
I want a 10-second delay. I want to be able to watch the play, look up, watch it again. Yeah. A lot of times, it's you want to watch the replay or do you want to watch the next play? And so,
well, and I tell you what, too, listening to the game, I know on our station, Christy Scales does such a great job. If somebody's dinged up, you know, hey Brad, babe, they're in the blue tent now or something
she's
like
good.
That. Yeah, she follows that up pretty well.
All right, we're going to take our final break, come back. We got some more questions. I want to talk a little bit more about Kayvon Thibodeau, their first-round pick from this last year, who looks like he may be able to play this week. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
Our first game day minicamp presented by Invisalign will be October the 2nd from 11:30 to 3:30 at the Star District here in Frisco. Join former players as they'll be able to teach your kids on the field while you go watch the games at the Star District, Cowboys and the Washington Commanders. To register your footballer for camp, visit DallasCowboys.com/academy.
Welcome back. Final segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We're presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Brian, got a question for you about Kayvon Thibodeau. He was their first-round pick. Give me a scouting report. Let's assume he's going to play this week. Based on what you saw in college and him coming out, give me a scouting report on this guy.
Well, I did pull up my notes for you, Derek.
Thank
so
you. I'll, spell his name for us. I'm just kidding.
No, he went to LSU. He should be able to spell Thibodeau.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not the first Thibodeau he's probably run across.
That E-A-U-X thing.
Yeah,
is,
that's it, natural.
That's
yeah.
just very
that's just part of it.
Add that Smith and then that, you can add it and you'll be fine to go. This guy is really, just my notes words, this guy is an outstanding build for the position, 6'4", 254 pounds. Mm. He looks the part of an NFL defensive end. He's long-armed. He's got a powerful upper and lower body. He's got thickness to his body, too, which really helps him. And then some snap and violence when he strikes his opponents with his hands. You see blockers, like when they come off on him and he hits them, they stop. I mean, this is playing in the Pac-12 and boom, he hits these blockers and they just stop in their tracks. And, you know, he got a lot of double teams while he was there at Oregon, and he played on both sides. So you kind of got to feel like, oh, okay, he's just not a right end or a left end. He was able to do that. But he was a stand-up player for Oregon. And now he with, you know, with the Giants, he's more of a hand down guy. But man, I mean, that I think the thing that he does the best is he'll beat you with the inside move because he's really explosive. You know, he can rush up the field, but when you get that inside charge, he is a hard, hard guy to stop. So, you know, those are the things you're going to deal with. A guy that's big, that's got some redirection skills, he'll chase the ball all over the field, and he plays with a burst and some power. So those are the things. That's why everybody had him as their top defensive end. I know some people had the Georgia kid that was that went to Jacksonville first overall, but a lot of teams had this guy as their first player on their board.
How much do you think that affects this game, looking at the two tackles the Cowboys have going up against Thibodeau if he plays?
Well, I mean, I think, yeah, it definitely affects them. But I think that, you know, rookie on rookie, you know, I mean, Smith will get his at times, and, you know, Thibodeau will probably get his. I mean, he's obviously – the good thing about Tyler Smith is that whatever he's learning – and this is going to be guard or, you know, tackle. I mean, like, strength travels. You know, I mean, it just does. I mean, when you have it now, awareness and snap count and you know, crowd and all that stuff is going to be interesting. But I mean, I'm sure there's been a lot of times where he's already been beat a little bit and he can hold his own because he's just got grown man strength. He just has it. So I think that will help him. And Terrence Steele, I thought, played really well in that game. I think he's just a natural fighter, and he reminds me a little bit of Columbo. In that athletically, you know, probably not the best, but he's big, he's strong, and he's just going to punch you in the throat, you know, like if he has to. And I like that about him, and I think that, you know, he's got some Lyle in him as well.
Yeah.
I would, you know, me, if I were the Giants, I would put, if both Ojulari and then and Thibodeau play, I would rush Thibodeau over Steele, because I think Steele with the power would be a problem for him a little bit. But the athletic ability and stuff, I think he's a little bit better athlete. I don't give him enough credit for his athletic ability because I think he's a good run blocker. I really think I think he's able to get – it's when people get him going backwards that he can't just sit down, where Smith can sit down on you and hold you at the line of scrimmage. So I would put whoever – Ojulari, I think – plays, I don't think he has the power that Thibodeau has. So I might put him and sacrifice him going against Smith and then put Thibodeau on the other side and let him rush against.
Do they not flip? Do they flip?
They flip him around a little bit. So, yeah, if you told me how you wanted to rush this thing, that's probably what I'd do. I just think that run blocking, I think Steele is just fine. Pass blocking, I think that's when he gives ground, more so than what you get with Smith.
Yeah, I mean, that run Pollard had, the 40 – or pass, whatever, 46 yards. If he's noticed, Steele was actually running down the field.
Yeah.
I mean,
he
wasn't the one responsible for the two blocks. I thought Steele and Biotish and
Ferguson. Biotish, Smith, and then the point of attack block was Schultz.
Schultz
caved everything, and it got everybody on the edge. And then once they got to the edge, that, you know, great balance by Pollard, staying in bounds and kind of weaving his way through. But you're right, man. Those guys.
Steele was running down there.
Yeah,
too.
They were all up the field. It was a good job by all those guys.
You mentioned earlier that Leonard Williams may not play for them this week.
No, he's not going to play.
Am I right to say that he is their best defensive player? And if so, what are they missing specifically?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're talking, because he's one of those guys that could play end or he could play tackle.
Yeah.
And they kind of move him around to wherever, because you'll see times it's weird. When they really need a play, he somehow shows up. Mm-hmm. You know, you worry about. I mean, you see him and it's like, oh, he's playing over your guard, and now he's in the backfield for tackle for loss, or he's hitting the quarterback, or he's tipping a ball or something like that. Yeah, that's a big loss for them right there with him.
Then, you know, we said earlier, Cowboys have won 9 out of 10 games against the Giants. The game that they lost, 2020, he wrecked the game. I mean, he had 3 sacks. I believe he had the last one when he sacked Dalton as they're driving for the win. And so he's that type. And I remember him doing that off of all in the tackle spot and the end spot. So he's got that. I mean, I remember when wasn't the Jets traded him to the Giants, and I just remember thinking that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good, because I mean he's a really good player, and Yeah, that's a big loss for them. I know Brian hates it when those star players leave.
I just absolutely, yeah, when the other team when the other team doesn't have their best players, it's just, I hate watching the game.
You're like, oh, cool.
I'm so
Sucks
happy.
For you.
I am so happy when the best players in their team don't show up.
Yeah, it happens.
All right, let's move on to another topic. I was looking at this, and I thought about Kellen Moore. There was a lot of talk about him last week and going into the game, whether he should be calling plays, whether Mike McCarthy should help him. Obviously, the offense looked like it had more life last week. My question for you guys is, when you watched the game, did you think, as you were watching it or when you went back to watch it later, did you think that there was a difference in how he called the game? And if so, what did you see that you thought you really liked, that you'd like to see more of?
You know, that I can't believe we haven't really talked about that since last game, because watching the game, that was one of the first things that came to mind after the first quarter in those first drives. It's like, okay, we heard during the week Mike McCarthy say he's going to be a little bit more involved in the play calling and all of that. And then all of a sudden, you see the offense working and moving the ball. So you're like, okay, wait a minute. What all did he do? He did something. So what was that? And you guys might have a better answer. I'm not sure. I didn't watch any video of him like on the sideline doing, and to get a real idea of how much game day wise was he really involved. But clearly that's something that I thought of, and even moving forward, I'm like, okay, then he definitely needs to, whatever he did, he needs to keep doing it. But as far as like game day, I don't know if you guys have heard anything specific on that aspect.
Yeah, I got wind that on when they got to third down, McCarthy clicked over and told Kellen, goes, get two plays ready. We're going for it on fourth. He said, get ready. We're going on fourth. If you get, just have two ready. And then he clicked back over. So that's the kind of thing you absolutely love. Manage the game, be in the game. What's really been interesting the last two games, the first 15 plays that Kellen Moore has called in each one of those games, remember with Dak in the first drive for the field goal. And then the drive with Cooper Rush, first 15. Whatever he's scripting, go back to it, bro.
Yeah.
Go back. Go back and find those plays again. You know, go back and star those plays, underline them, do what you're doing. Because his last two games, he's gotten, 10 points off his first two drives of the game. So whatever he's scripting and saying, okay, hey, guys, these are going to be our first 15 or first 10, whatever he goes with, it seems to be working out for him pretty well.
You know, last year the Cowboys led their highest scoring quarter was the third quarter. They had over 100 points. They, over first, second, fourth, third quarter. This year they have not scored a point in the third quarter. Mm. It's two games, so the sample size isn't too great right now. But you wonder, that's where coming out of the locker room, chess match begins, and that's something I think the Cowboys really need to work on. Now, I think they have started the game with the ball the first two times, right? Mm-hmm. So they're not getting the ball a lot in the third quarter, and that goes into it as well. But I think the scripting, not just before the game, but also coming out of the halftime.
Yeah. One thing I'll say is, we talked about this last week, and we were talking more about Dak and how we wanted to see them use Dak once he's back. And I was talking about wanting to see more of those boots. Last week we saw a little bit of that, some of that misdirection.
Touchdown was a boot.
Yeah, exactly. So they were actually moving Cooper around a little bit more than I think they did with Dak in week one. I hope they continue some of that, because I do think it creates some easy throws sometimes for quarterbacks, especially when they're doing the boot. They're coming around. You've got, a tight end underneath. You usually have a receiver over the top. They're running crossing routes, which can free them up as well. And then you just got to find the right window to get the ball in there. I think those can tend to be really easy throws for quarterbacks. So continuing those, I think, could be a good thing for this offense.
Well, yeah, too. But if they don't rush the passer, if that's the thing about it, you're trying to get pass rushers to chase. So if it's me and I think that they're not, but Thibodeau and Ojulari, they could be, if they're in the game, then you're right to the boots. But if it's one of those things where it's no pass rush, I'm maxing that thing up and say, okay, Hendershot and those guys, you guys, Ferguson, stay in. We're going to take a shot down the field, because they'll give up some big plays.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to let Cooper Rush throw from the pocket as much as I can. It's when, if you told me, though, that those rushers are in and they're crashing and stuff like that, let's take advantage of how aggressive they are and move the pocket. But with this crew, you might not need to do that. Firm that thing up. Throw the ball down the field.
What are you hearing as far as Ojulari and Thibodeau? I saw this morning Thibodeau. It sounded like he has a really good chance to play.
I just talked to a guy this morning at the Giants. He felt like that they both had a chance of going this week. Okay. So.
All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to wrap this thing up. We're going to tell you what we think is going to happen this Monday night, Cowboys versus Giants. Till then, for Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, and Amber Garcia, I am Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!